But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. So here's some biblical principles that help you fill the spiritual bucket and diagnose what might be going on. And that is this: ongoing pressure of any sort in your life causes despair. Notice he says that. So we were under great pressure, so that could be an activating event, as Dr. Wagaman said, far beyond our ability to endure, and we despaired of life itself. So ongoing pressure, if you leave it unaddressed, if you, you know, just think, oh, it's normal, you can fall into despair of life itself and not even realize that that is what is happening to you, okay? But Paul says, I saw this pressure, and this is what it did to us.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Salty Pastor Podcast, a podcast designed to coach you up in your faith. The more you know, the more you can grow. The importance of growing your faith is more critical now than ever, and this is why you should invite people to be part of the Salty Pastor Podcast. We're so glad you're here. My name is Jesse Mayer, and I'll be your host, but we cannot do this without the one, the only, the Salty Pastor himself, Dr. Douglas Peak.
Well, hello, everyone. It is so good to be with you on this beautiful week in March. Things are starting to kind of get warmer, and we have gone through the dreaded daylight savings time transition. That's always dreaded for me. I'm so glad that you are all here listening and being a part of the Salty crew. We love what we're doing here on the Salty Pastor, and we hope it's blessing you, encouraging you, helping you think for yourself, grow your faith, because that's what this is all about. It's about coaching you up in your faith. So if you could help us out, our subscriptions have been growing. And if you navigate over to YouTube and you find our channel, The Salty Pastor, like and subscribe. Because what that does is the more of those we get, then the more the algorithm recognizes what we are doing. We're currently over 380 episodes of The Salty Pastor. Mm. So we are doing something that is sustainable. It's impactful, and we've been, somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 downloads or listeners a month, and so I'd really love to see that grow to 5,000 downloads a month. So that's pretty exciting to see and hear about the growth of our audience, and we'd love you to be a part of that. So like and subscribe, and then finally, if you want to support the ministry and what we're doing, you can give directly to The Salty Pastor Podcast. And you simply do that by going to foothills.org. There's a give tab. You click on that, and then you can kind of pick in the memo where you want it to go, and it'll say Salty Pastor, and it can go there. So thank you so much for your generosity and your support of what God is doing through the Salty Pastor Podcast.
Absolutely. And we are in our final week in our current study, Weeds in Our Garden.
Weeds in Your Garden.
My Garden. Weeds in My Garden.
You're talking about My Garden?
An honest conversation on mental health. And when we started this series, we knew we were going to run into some pretty important things, some pretty heavy topics, and we knew that it wouldn't necessarily be comfortable for many people to be talking about these things. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that we've had a lot of people that have chosen to really fully engage and have adult conversations around these topics. Yep. We've discussed depression, stress, burnout, anxiety, worry, and even suicide in this series. And I think there's been a lot of people that have been really blessed, but also stepped up to say, hey, I've struggled with this, or hey, this is something my family has dealt with. And there's a level of acceptance and a level of openness and honesty, which is what we really wanted in this series, about, hey, it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it was just impressive to see the level of maturity of all the people, whether they're Salty Pastor Podcast listeners or they are a part of Foothills Christian Church. It's just been amazing to me the level of maturity and the sensitivity that they dealt with this topic. They really leaned into it. They really engaged. No one acted in an immature or rash way. We had a lot of people come. You know, we had a jump in about 300 people who came because they were interested in this topic, and the people who are a part of Foothills were just really incredibly mature and wise and welcoming. You know, one of the biggest things I heard was how friendly everybody is at Foothills when they get here and how welcoming they were. So that was really a positive aspect of it. Sometimes I think the church gets a bad rap. You know, people, they take one situation of some weird group of people down in South Texas somewhere or Eastern Arkansas, I don't know, and then they extrapolate that and say, oh, everybody's that way, and that's just simply not true. I don't think anybody at Foothills stigmatized anybody who is struggling with a mental health issue. And I think a lot of people at Foothills were really open about their own struggles, right?
Mm.
And so that was really, really, really powerful. We used the four buckets to address the different aspects of how to treat mental disorders. And I think that was really helpful, too. People really said, wow, that really helps me understand that we kind of need to address all the buckets.
Well, with something so wide and broad and needing so much knowledge to really understand. I mean, I'm married to a person with a master's degree in psychology.
Yeah.
And I still...
It's a broad field.
It's a broad field, right? And so it's like having something that just lets you have a better conversation about how things are kind of categorized and where things might be getting influenced by, it just helps us as people who don't have that much knowledge in general have a better conversation about it rather than, well, you know, that thing that does the thing and I don't really know why it does that. It's like giving people language so they can better express what they're feeling, what they've experienced, what people around them might be feeling so that they can have a better conversation with them, I think is one of the biggest wins we've had of just giving people some skills and some knowledge and some language that allows them to better interact with people in their lives that might be struggling with
this. The buckets really also help, in addition to that, help people understand how they interact with each other. You know, like the biological bucket can affect your spiritual bucket can affect these buckets. And so that's a, you know, clinical and even, you know, situational. It's just really, really interesting. I thought that the Dr. Wagaman and his wife Sue, the experts on depression who came in and said that depression often starts with some kind of situational event.
Right.
And then, but that doesn't cause the depression. It's how, you know, a few weeks later, it's how we think about it, right?
Yeah. Our beliefs about ourselves.
Yeah.
And which is something you've hit on for years now, right?
Yeah.
They just reiterated something you've been saying for a long time, which is, what you believe about yourself is one of the most important things about you. That's a Dougism. You know, we have Harvisms and Dougisms, and that's the salty pastorism. But they said, like, literally, biologically, what you believe about yourself really affects who you are and how you respond to they said an activating event, I think was the word they
used. Yeah, activating event. Like absolutely.
A situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these buckets also help us understand, well, okay, this part of the situation is biological. This part is maybe something going on in my brain. And then this part is something spiritual that's happening to me. And like you said, a lot of people, whether it's in the secular world and sometimes in the Big C church world, will either hard go into one bucket or the other, right?
Yeah.
Like they don't want, there's not been a great conversation about, hey,
how
what
do
if
they
we're
all
looking holistically
together?
About how these all come together and they all influence each other?
Yeah. Oh, and if you're not watching on the video field, Jesse did this really cool illustration with his hands, you know, where he brings them together.
Yes.
Well, that was the other thing that they said that I really imprinted upon me is that we run a counseling center. We've done this for 30 years. They have over 20 counselors in their practice, which is pretty, so that's a big
practice. It's a large practice.
And they said the biggest thing that we've discovered is that people who don't know God, people who are not Christians, are left to only using the materialistic tools to fight depression. And they said it's kind of like fighting with one hand tied behind your back.
Right.
And that's what I want to spend this final week in talking about, the importance of the spiritual bucket and how the spiritual bucket, when it's addressed and it's filled, right, it gives us even more strength to that influences and helps in the other areas that we're fighting against this, and how those beliefs, right, drive our thinking. And so when you have the right beliefs, then it's easier to correct wrong thinking. And I also liked how they talked about the notion that depression counseling, deep therapy for depression is going in and trying, the most effective thing is to challenge irrational or wrong beliefs about these past events, these activating events. And so it's so much easier to do that when your beliefs are aligned with reality. If your beliefs aren't aligned with reality, or you've never thought how they're aligned with reality.
Or you don't believe there is a real reality.
Yeah, if you don't believe there's a reality, then fixing those thoughts can be done, but it's extremely difficult.
You're fighting an uphill battle.
You're fighting an uphill battle. So that's why I think it's important to focus on the spiritual bucket. And, you know, I want to discuss how that bucket in particular is so important for any person suffering from a mental disorder of any kind. Even if it's just a short temporary one, or it's been a long-term battle for them. And I think one of the best places to start is in Paul's admonition to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church, you know, had been through a lot of struggles and division. They were in a part of what is known as modern-day Greece, and there was a lot of Greek influence. There was a lot of ancient Roman fertility cult worship influence. There was a lot of, I would say, it's very cosmopolitan feel because there was so much trade that went through it. It's a major trade route. Because what would happen is Corinth is kind of, it's on the eastern side, right, of the peninsula called Greece. And there's this little thing called an isthmus.
An isthmus? Not like Christmas, but isthmus.
I could never get the isthmus right very well. But what happens is, what would they would do is, you could sail the goods all the way around southern Greece and over to Rome or to Italy, or you could go to Corinth, and then they would just transport them by wagon a very short distance. And today, actually, there is a canal that has been cut into that, so you can now just ship directly through it to save all this time. And so you could do that. So it had a very cosmopolitan feel. The church had a lot of persecution, a lot of struggles, just a lot of issues in it, right? And so it's interesting, especially when you read 1 Corinthians, you really get the picture of what struggles they had. But when you read 2 Corinthians, he starts off the letter in verse 3 with the following words. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." So there's basically four biblical principles here that are very important to understand just in these few verses. Number one, when you are suffering, it is important to not be isolated or feel like I am all on my own. This is a feeling that you want to fight, and you have to believe that Jesus is the Father of compassion. It says right there, Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And what he's saying is that Jesus has compassion on what you are going through, and he's not abandoning you or, well, suck it up, buttercup, I'll talk to you when you get through this.
Right.
He has tremendous compassion. So don't believe that you're isolated. Number two, when you are dealing with anxiety, worry, depression, burnout, grief, loneliness, that's called mental health suffering. When you're suffering with these things, you need to be comforted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Comfort is an intentional act of care designed to help you get better.
Right.
And it says right here that Jesus is the Father of all comfort. Right? So Jesus not only has compassion about what you're going through, he jumps into action. He wants to comfort you because he's the Father of all comfort. Number three, it doesn't matter what you're suffering from. Paul says that Jesus comforts us in all of our troubles. Your suffering, you may feel, is particular and is beyond the reach of Jesus. But that's a false belief. It's not. Jesus can comfort us in all the troubles that we face. There's nothing under the sun that Jesus cannot comfort us in. That's a very powerful belief in the spiritual bucket. And then finally, this verse talks about how suffering seems so pointless and unfair. Suffering just seems to be meaningless. But Paul tells us that our suffering, though it is unjust, though it is bad and evil, it also can be used for the purpose of comforting others. later on who are going through the same thing. So notice how just these couple of verses have such power-packed biblical principles in them for anybody who's going through a mental health struggle. So just remember, you're not alone. Jesus is compassionate about what you're going through. He wants to be active and comfort you in the midst of your trouble. There's nothing that you're going through that he cannot comfort you in or comfort you through, and you can allow Jesus to redeem your suffering in order to help other people. In other words, he can bring meaning to something that Satan is designed to lack meaning and purpose.
Yeah, and I think those 5 points you just brought up is Jesus showing us the way we can also help others, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think all of those 5 things you said are all things that he models, things that he's actively doing in our lives each and every day that the Wagamans and September and other people have all talked about in our research of talking about you are not alone, right? You want to, if someone is going through this, you are not alone. You want to show them compassion in the in the struggle. What they're dealing with is real. It is a real suffering, right?
Yeah.
That you want to provide some comfort. Say, you know, I'm beside you. I'm with you. You're going to get through this. I mean, there's nothing he can't comfort you through. We are humans, so that's maybe not something that's applicable to us, but Jesus has the ability to do that. And then, you know, redeeming that suffering in order to help others, another thing that we can't necessarily do, but again, that turns it basically around and saying what you're going through could help someone else in the future, right? And that's an important thing to know of. Your story might influence someone else's story. So,
and, and that brings me, that brings meaning to a meaningless event.
Right. That injustice can have a redemption to it, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I want to return to one other statement that Dr. Wagaman, Dr. Jeff Wagaman said, that a majority of adults at some point in their lives will go through some sort of mental struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, he even said, you know, like depression and anxiety are like what he said, quote unquote, normal people.
Yeah.
Mental health struggles in that, like, a lot of people will experience some form of that on the spectrum at some point in their lives. Right.
Yeah, and so it's absolutely. Like,
what I want to talk to you, Pastor, about is how does the spiritual bucket help us kind of diagnose what's going on in our lives when we're going through these things?
Well, that's a really great, really great point, because if you jump down just a couple verses, verse 8, Paul writes to the Corinthians, chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, we do not want you to be uninformed. Okay, so that tells me, I need to learn something, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. So he's saying, I want you to know what happened to us. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Wow, well, that's pretty heady.
Yeah,
I mean, that's heavy,
that's
verbiage.
That's language that implies a pretty...
Yeah, it was a serious event. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. So here's some biblical principles that help you fill the spiritual bucket and diagnose what might be going on. And that is this: ongoing pressure of any sort in your life causes despair. Notice he says that. So we were under great pressure, so that could be an activating event, as Dr. Wagaman said, far beyond our ability to endure, and we despaired of life itself. So ongoing pressure, if you leave it unaddressed, if you, you know, just think, oh, it's normal, you can fall into despair of life itself and not even realize that that is what is happening to you, okay? But Paul says, I saw this pressure, and this is what it did to us. Number two, despair can lead to a sentence of death, you see. And the series, the day where we focused on suicide in September, Frogley was here, talked about how despair, the hopelessness is why often people make that decision.
Right.
Dr. Wagaman even brought that up. He said that it's really interesting is that anxiety doesn't lead to suicide, but depression does.
Right.
I thought, wow, what an interesting distinction he made there. So despair, depression can lead to a sentence of death. In these moments is when you can make a choice. And for Paul, he said, this happened because we could not rely on ourselves in any way, shape, or form. We could rely only on Jesus. And what I think about that is really important is that when people are in severe pressure that leads to despair, the despair can be depression. It can lead to a sentence of death. It's important to realize I can't fix myself in this moment.
Right.
I can't do this. I can now. I need to rely on something outside of me, and I'm going to start with Jesus.
Mm.
Right. And what a great thing, because why would you want to rely on Jesus? Because Jesus has the power over death. So if Jesus has the power over death, then you know, he can raise the dead, then that means nothing that you are facing, right? Because all of that is short of death, no matter how bad it is, right? It's still short of death. That means that if he has the power over death, he has the power of everything that leads up to that. So he has the power over that to raise the dead. So it's in those moments where his resurrection power can deliver you from the suffering and oppression of your mental disorder. And that's all right there. He says, this is how you can diagnose what's going on. Am I under ongoing pressure? Am I falling into despair or depression? Am I seeing this? Despair then can lead me to a lack of hope, right? A sentence of death. And it's in this moment where I need to realize I can't help myself, right? I'm not going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and get out of this. I need to rely on Jesus. And Paul was very specific in this passage of scripture that that's what happened. We relied on Jesus, and he is the one who delivered us. I think one of the things that happens is when we rely on Jesus, that allows us to be more humble and accept the help from God's people or from people that God puts in our life, like a really great therapist,
right?
Right. Or a doctor, or, you know, I've told this illustration before, and I think it's really important. And that is this, is that this guy was caught in a flood. He climbed out onto the roof of his house and the flood waters were going on. He goes,
yes.
God save me. Remember that one?
Yep.
And so a guy in a boat comes by and he goes, nope, God's going to save me. Then another boat comes by. Is your last chance? He goes, no, God's going to save me. And then a helicopter Coast Guard comes by, says, sure. And he goes, nope, God's going to save me. He dies. He goes to heaven. And he goes, God, why didn't you deliver me? He said, I sent you two boats and a helicopter.
Right.
And I think that's really important in this thing is that Jesus can deliver you, right? And you have to be humble enough to accept the means by which he chooses to deliver you.
Mm. And I think that's super important is we, and I think this is important even if you don't have mental health struggles. There's a lot mm-hmm. of things in life that we want our way, right?
Yeah.
There's the way God wants to do it, and then there's the way we want to do it, yeah. which is usually the easier, worse, more fun version
yeah.
than the one he wants that he knows is going to give us the best, whatever it might be, hope, redemption yeah. thing.
Uh-huh.
And so we have to be humble enough to go, whatever your will is, however you want to do this,
yeah.
whatever that looks like, and be open enough to be like, oh, maybe this is the lifeline right here. Maybe
right
it's
here.
This counselor, yep. or maybe it's a friend or whatever. So
whatever it is, yeah. Being, you got to be open to that.
Yeah, and be humble enough to not think I know better than the creator of the universe, right?
Because God wants to deliver you from these things, right? It's Paul says that God will deliver you and he'll deliver us, and so we have to be humble enough to receive. But see, what a lot of times people reject help because they feel the sentence of death is it's they're incapable of being delivered from it,
right? It's too big, too much
yeah.
that no one could possibly
right.
redeem it or save them from
correct.
It, right? All right, well, let's talk about what kind of power or strength comes from the spiritual bucket.
Yeah, how, you know, what is the power by which he delivers us? And I think that's really important is if you go over to Philippians, you know, this is a book of power and where power comes to overcome. The Philippians, you know, They were struggling. And then Paul was in prison when he wrote the letter to them, and they were very stressed out. They were worried about him being in prison, right? So they were kind of getting it from both sides. And so the great thing about the book is that Paul basically says, okay, let's focus on filling our spiritual bucket. And this spiritual bucket, then, once it's full, brings all kinds of power into our lives. In verse 6, at the very beginning, he says, I am confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So the work in you is not complete yet. And if you're suffering from some mental health disorder, realize no matter how much you hurt, no matter how much suffering you're struggling with, the work in you is not complete. You will get better. Dr. Wagaman emphasize this numerous times. People who are struggling with suicidal tendencies, people who are in severe depression, always get better with help.
Right.
And so, wow, I remember when we did this, the focus on anxiety. They said that everybody struggles with anxiety. Only 1/3 of people seek help with severe anxiety. But the thing is that it is the most treatable mental disorder that everybody has.
Mm.
It's the most treatable. So things will get better. Okay, I think that's really important to understand. Number two, Philippians 1, verses 12 through 14, he says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And it is because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So the second thing that happens in the filling of our spiritual bucket is the notice that Jesus can redeem the pain for a greater purpose, right? Only Jesus can bring dead things to life. And even though you may feel that your struggle is killing you, only Jesus can bring you back to life. You may have no idea what you are going through right now and how Jesus can use it to help people enter into the kingdom of God, to meet Christ themselves. It reminds me of Misty's testimony when we focused on the week on suicide, where she said, my mother committed suicide. And then years later, 40 years later, God used me to help a student I was teaching through that process. And so what a phenomenal thing I think that was.
Yeah, I think it's really important for us to hear this, because, I mean, I think it could very easily quickly be interpreted as, well, God wants us to suffer for other people to help other people. Why would he, if he loves us so much, why would he make us go through that? And it's like, well, he's not making you go through it, right? Like, I think that's an important thing to note, that is not in his nature. We are sinful. We live in a sinful world with sinful things, and everyone makes choices, and those choices happen. But what God is in control of is he can take something that is bad and redeem it for good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's really important. Don't turn this into, well, God made my, in Misty's case, she could have been like, well, God made my mom commit suicide. And it's like, no, that's not right. What happened.
And I think, what you bring up is a really good point, because what that is, remember how I said what you believe is one of the most important things about it, is if you have a wrong belief.
Right.
And I'll be salty here, and that belief comes out of an immaturity, okay? Because when you actually just read the Bible, and when you just get basic doctrine 101, we were never meant to die.
Right.
We were created to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened is, we brought evil into the world. So the reason why evil happens and bad things happen in the world is because we, Adam and Eve, created it and brought it in here. Okay, so all evil exists from the free will and the administrations and the invitation of human beings,
right,
to bring evil into the world. This is why random things like tsunamis wipe out villages. Paul talks about this in Romans. So evil's in the world because of human beings and our choice. Not God didn't create it, and God doesn't cause it.
Right.
Now, we were meant to never die, but sin causes death. And so Jesus came in order to break the power of sin and death. So even though our physical bodies die, we still live in eternity and we're given a new body that's not corrupted.
Right.
And I think that can't be touched by evil. Mm. And so I think that's what's really important to understand is that, like you said, is that God is redeeming it because he's raising. That's the way God chose to defeat evil, right? Was not coming and say, okay, Jesus is here. He's going to say nobody dies from this point forward.
Right.
He didn't do that. He died on the cross to pay the price. So now everybody has the opportunity to live, right, and overcome and break the power of death. That's very important to understand. And that's why in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, so if you just go a couple chapters over, he says, remember, our citizenship is in heaven. So we were just talking about that. Your citizenship is there, not here. He goes, we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform these earthly bodies, these lowly bodies, so that they will be like his glorious body. So our suffering, our mental struggle can be faced with courage and strength when you have a wellspring of courage and strength. Like Dr. Wagaman said, if you don't have a spiritual bucket, then you're left to fight, you know, with one hand tied behind your back. But when you have a spiritual bucket and you've filled it with right beliefs, guess what happens? You now have a bucket, a wellspring of courage and strength. And you realize whether this body dies or not is almost irrelevant because I am going to, what he says, the power that enables him to bring everything under his control is going to transform these lowly bodies, these earthly bodies is what he means, to be like his eternal body, the body that can't be corrupted by evil.
Yeah, I mean, I think having that focus and an understanding of, yes, there are some biological, clinical, situational aspects to our mental health, but if you don't have a solid belief, if you are not addressing the spiritual bucket, you're fighting with a lot less resources, right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And having that belief system, right? And he even talked about this on Sunday's message. If you guys haven't watched the message on Sunday, our listeners, he talked about more and more studies in psychology are pointing towards Christians are the happiest, healthiest people. That doesn't mean that they're always happy. That doesn't mean they're always healthy.
Right.
But they have an innate something, which a lot of the atheists can't seem to define, about them that makes them more
resilient
yep. when it comes to mental health. They're happier, they're everything, and all of it is scriptural. He's pointing out these things like, hey, monogamy, it's a great way. Hey, all the studies show that happiest people that are in a monogamous people or have the best sex lives, right? And like these different things that Jesus pointed all this out. He said all this, God said all this to us, but now we're finally catching up with science going, oh, hey, did you know if you do this? And God's like, I told you this thousands of years ago.
Should have listened to me in the first place. Yeah. I'm so glad God doesn't do I told you so.
Right. There would be a lot of them.
Yeah. And then, you know, finally in chapter 4, verse 19, I love this verse where he says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which you have been given, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So you have needs, and the spiritual bucket is designed to supply you with what you need to overcome what is causing you so much despair in your life.
Mm.
So he will give and supply your need, right, through Jesus Christ, because he is gloriously wealthy in all of this. So he wants to pour into your spiritual bucket so that you can have courage and confidence and resiliency and endurance and perseverance to overcome. And I just love what September and then Dr. Jeff talked about, and that is that if you can hang on, things get better. They always get better. So have that faith, have that hope that Christ will fulfill his promises to you. That's how you fill your spiritual bucket.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Pastor, for diving into these scriptures with us today that further just prove why the spiritual bucket is so important in our lives. We thank you guys for joining us, and make sure you tune in on Thursday as we wrap up our series, Weeds in My Garden, an honest conversation about mental health.
Blessings.